Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
1 o'clock hour here on a Thursday. Cody and Gold, thanks for hanging out with us as always.
Always appreciate it.
Couple things I'll pass along. We aren't going to play the full Andy Reid audio because there's just a couple points that you actually matter.
42 seconds, probably.
We'll just pass along the info. Then we'll have Charge join us here momentarily. Andy Reid did say moments ago that Patrick Mahomes will, quote, most likely play against the Texans on Saturday, and that's where this thing has been trending throughout the week, so I don't think that's a surprise. Also did confirm that Shamari Connor and DJ Humphries once again did not practice, which you didn't practice today. Remember, they're playing Saturday, so today's like a Friday practice, Yep. So those two guys not playing on Saturday, but Mahomes is going to play. He's playing on Saturday.
That was never a doubt the second he spoke to the media on Tuesday.
It sure sounded
that way. It was a lock. Thank God I got the Chiefs at +110
They're
when I bet it.
3.5-point favorites over at FanDuel, the Chiefs are, against the Texans. Snitch line Thursday coming your way in about 15
Start
minutes.
Start getting
them in. 913-586-7965. Something that you've done, something you saw a coworker or a family member do, something you want to get off your chest. That's coming up in just a bit. But let's go out to the hotline and welcome in our guy Paul Charchian of Guillotine Leagues and FantasyLife.com. He's presented by Twin Peaks, Eats, Drinks, Scenic Views. Semi-final week, Charge. I mean, it is definitely go time across fantasy football leagues.
Yeah, for sure. And this is critical stuff right here. This is the difference between, you know, you just want to get here to at least get to the finals. Give me one more week, get to the finals. It's a little bit like getting to the Super Bowl. You guys wouldn't understand what it's like to come close and not get there. But it's, you know, you don't want to get knocked out here. You want to at least give yourself a chance to be alive, final two, and then have some epic outcome, hopefully in your favor next week.
Charge, I still have all the faith in you. Gold was saying bad things about you because you talked about a Brian Thomas Jr. last week, and then it cost him a fantasy game.
Sorry.
I still have faith in you. So before we ask any questions that affect everyone, how about we just answer a couple of lineup questions that directly affect me in my highest dollar league? You know, I bring you on to help me. Surely somebody else is going through these exact same problems, right?
Exact same two guys, absolutely.
16-team league. I've got quarterbacks are tough, right, to come by. I have to start either Justin Herbert tonight against Denver or Aaron Rodgers. I think I'm starting Aaron Rodgers, Mr. Ayahuasca
you
himself.
Are. Yep, you're starting Aaron Rodgers. I've got him four spots higher. Goes up against a very inconsistent Rams secondary. And suddenly, the Jets are scoring some points. I mean, maybe this is not the worst offense to have a quarterback from. And it's all through the air. I mean, Breece Hall is just like dead to us at this point, right? You know, this is a team that has managed to put up 27, 21, 26, and 25 points the last 3 weeks. So, 32 points last week. So, yeah, there's things are starting to happen a little bit here with this passing offense and the old Rodgers to Devontae Adams. It's back, baby. That combo, it's clicking again.
Well, so I have Devontae Adams in that same league charge, but I was considering benching Ladd McConkey. I'm terrified of Patrick Surtain. He scares the hell out of me.
That's the appropriate response to this right now because Patrick Surtain is awesome. And you should have a lot of concern about Ladd McConkey. Now, McConkey's been great, by the way. And in my mind, second best rookie receiver this year behind Brian Thomas, who you mentioned earlier. And McConkey's last four games, he's averaging 7 catches, 95 yards. But it's Patrick Surtain. Surtain is so good. Get this. In his coverage, and he shadows a lot. And here's the scenarios where Patrick Surtain shadows is when the opponent has one really good receiver. And that's what they got here. Because after Ladd McConkey, you're down to like DJ Chark and Quentin Johnston. So you stop McConkey and you take the wheels off of the passing offense. And so that's what you're going to get here. Patrick Surtain, in his coverage, averages 1.5 catches per game for 16 yards. That's it. So, McConkey, super dangerous here.
As you can imagine, Charge, around here all week, the story's been about that ankle of Patrick Mahomes. This is the sixth time he's had an ankle injury, but he's been a full participant in these practices. We all believe he's playing on Saturday. But from a fantasy football perspective, even when healthy, he's been kind of a questionable guy to start in your league. So now with the injury, how do you play this?
I don't. I'm out. I've got Mahomes way down at quarterback 21 right now.
Okay.
Because I don't like this matchup. I don't like when Mahomes does not have his trademark escapability, right? And the ability to extend plays, because that's so much of his success are those passes that come on extended plays. And I don't like your left tackle against Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter. You know, whether it's Humphreys or is it Thuney or Tooney?
Tooney,
by the way?
Tooney. Like Looney Tunes.
Thank you very much. Yes, Tooney. It's in either case, so they've each started one of the last two games. Just your left tackle the last 2 weeks has allowed 15 quarterback pressures. And here comes Danielle Hunter. This is a bad combo, and I'm worried that this thing is going to be lost at the line of scrimmage, and we're going to see a really tough game for Patrick Mahomes here.
Charge, this might be etched into every fantasy football player's gravestone from dead teams, but is Michael Penix the key to turning around Kyle Pitts in the Falcons' offense? Are we willing to start?
I don't know
Falcons
that anybody can turn around
Kyle
Pitts.
Let's stop with the Kyle Pitts stuff. You know, this is.
I told you at the beginning of the year to give up. I never drafted him again.
For years, Cody's been trying to tell me Kyle Pitts was dealing with bad QB play. Kyle Pitts is not a factor in fantasy football.
He is not a factor. I'm going to give you an insanely esoteric stat coming in right now.
All right.
Over the last 5 years, so our sample size is 5 years, first round quarterbacks. In their first ever start, they're actually pretty good. 11 first-rounders in their first round, their first ever game since 2020. Only four had outright dud games scoring 11 or fewer fantasy points. The other seven averaged 20 fantasy points, which I find very interesting. But I'll also note this. Of the 11, one of them won their game. 10 of them lost their game. But from a fantasy standpoint, you actually can get it done a little bit with these first start quarterbacks that are first round quality. I think it's because opponents don't have any real way of knowing what's coming. And Penix only played part of one preseason game, and they didn't play him again. So nobody really knows what Michael Penix has got. Goes up against the Giants. Giants have been a shockingly competent secondary, but it's not necessarily all things bad for the Falcons, who've been languishing in with Kirk Cousins. Really feeble arm, and now they get a much stronger passer in Penix. So, I think guys like Drake London, Darnell Mooney,
Darnell Mooney.
That hurt.
I'm not bitter at all. We're talking to Paul Charchian of Guillotine Leagues and FantasyLife.com. All right, last week the huge story in Philly had to deal with, you know, maybe the relationship between Hurts and Brown and, you know, the role in the offense. Well, A.J. Brown goes out there and gets 11 targets. Are we good now? Like, if you're someone that wants to start A.J. Brown?
Squeaky wheel got the grease last week, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, let's take a longer view here. A.J. Brown was totally scattershot for all of this season, mostly because the Eagles don't pass much. They have the league's lowest passing play percentage at just 44%. And here's the other weird thing about A.J. Brown. Despite, you know, he's got that big frame, right? And he should be unguardable near the goal line. He has zero targets on plays from inside the five this year. None. And so I think he goes back to being a guy that you worry a little bit about being in your lineup. You kind of have to start him because he's A.J. Brown. He goes up against Washington. He'll battle Marshawn Lattimore, one of the most physical cornerbacks in the league in this game. And when he played Washington earlier this year, A.J. Brown, 5 catches, 65 yards. That feels like that might be about the ballpark for this game, too. And you just hope this time he finds his way into the end zone.
Church, I know tonight we covered the Ladd McConkey into things, although now you're talking about Philly's lack of passing offense. My option outside of Ladd McConkey would be DeVonta Smith. So clearly
I'd play Smith.
Oh, man. Now you're just telling me I should play Smith instead of Ladd? It's PPR. Yeah. Does that change anything for you?
Well, that does help Ladd a little bit because he is a ball hog. And where Ladd can still be okay is if they move him into the slot a lot more. He doesn't generally run a lot from the slot, but that's where he could be more helpful. So Now I still,
it's a coin flip. You know,
I've got Smith a couple of spots higher right now.
When you look at the game tonight, though, Jaden Reed last Thursday, two Thursdays ago, zero catches. Cooper Kupp somehow had zero catches in a Thursday night game. These games typically are kind of ugly. Do you kind of see like a zero coming out of someone tonight?
Well, Ladd McConkey is the guy that worries me. So, yes, that's the guy. So that's the guy that I would show caution on is Ladd.
What about the Courtland Sutton end of things? Like, that'd be the opposite number one wide receiver for Bo Nix. The Chargers' defense up until a couple of weeks ago was the number one ranked points per game defense in the league. Obviously, they just came off giving up 30 or 40 or whatever the hell happened in that game against the Bucs. But, I mean, you got to think that the Chargers' secondary can hold down Courtland Sutton.
Well, see, here's the thing. Their cornerbacks are bigger physical cornerbacks who like to bully opposing receivers. They push around guys like Darnell Mooney.
That's not easy on
Sutton. Worthy is recent examples. But look at what Mike Evans did to the Chargers last week, because nobody bullies Mike Evans, and he roasted the Chargers. Here comes Courtland Sutton, almost as big, almost as strong, almost as physical as Mike Evans. And Sutton scored against them in the earlier matchup this year, and he has scored against the Chargers in three straight meetings. I like Courtland Sutton this week. He is up at wide receiver 13 this week.
Any running backs tonight in this game? I mean, we know Gus Edwards is not part of the equation, or J.K. Dobbins, I'm sorry, is not part of the equation there for the Chargers. And Cody asked you about Herbert or Rodgers. We know they want to be run first, but is that something they're capable of doing against this Broncos defense tonight?
Nope. Not going to happen. Let's talk about how bad this running game has been. You know, like Jim Harbaugh, right? Power running game guy. This should be a team that runs the ball out. They can't run right now. Gus averaging 3.4 yards per carry, and he is not top 36 yards in five straight games. That's not great. His backup is Kamani Vidal, who the rookie out of Troy, who I was actually kind of optimistic about. He's been garbage, too. He hasn't done a thing. Denver hasn't allowed a rushing touchdown in five games, thanks in part to Jonathan Taylor throwing away a touchdown last week, right?
My goodness. But
they haven't allowed a touchdown in five games. I don't think Gus or any of the other Chargers get much done here.
Yeah, Gus Edwards, from a betting perspective, is plus 155 to find the end zone tonight, and his rushing total, at least over at FanDuel, is 34.5.
That's your starting running back on a Jim Harbaugh offense.
Charge, I know it's that this would be the Hail Mary of Hail Marys. Maybe you just had a team that got hurt right before the playoffs and you're trying to do something. But the Chiefs are going to activate Hollywood Brown. We don't know. We have no idea what he'll look like inside a Chiefs offense other than he was their number two target going into the regular season. Is there anything you can do with Hollywood Brown? Is he worth a stash, let's just say, if you're thin at wide receiver and you just want to see if you could use him next week, next year, whatever?
No, I don't think so. He'll get 15 snaps, maybe. There's just not going to be enough work there. This is one of the few games where I feel good about Xavier Worthy. And I felt pretty good about him last week. But, you know, he runs from the slot, and this has been a change. He runs from the slot more than any other Chief does. And the Texans, as you guys may know, they lost their slot defender, Jalen Petrie, for the season 2 weeks ago. And his replacement, Jimmy Ward, got targeted 12 times last week and gave up 10 receptions. So I think whoever's operating out of the slot, and again, it's been more Worthy than anybody else lately, that guy is going to be potentially sitting on a pretty good game, and that, to me, is the sneakier play, not Hollywood Brown.
Yeah, and Worthy of the last 4 weeks or so has been treaded up anyway. I mean, his targets are up, his production's up, so something to keep an eye on come Saturday afternoon at Arrowhead. Charge, we appreciate the insight all season long. Do the holiday and stuff. I think this might be it for the 2024-2025 season. It's been fun.
It's been a great season, and how else am I going to know how many of your guillotine leagues that you ended up winning? I mean, you're not going to, like, post any Twitter mascots of your winning roster or anything, are you?
Definitely not. No, we're in the final three in all three guillotines, including our listener league. So we'll see. I'm worried that I'm going to lose all three this week because I just have a bad feeling.
It's just fantasy football. Yeah. You played fantasy football before, so of course you're worried you're going to lose all three in 1 week.
That's right. Well, we've had a ton of fun. Thanks, Charge.
And, it's been a great season. Thanks, my friends.
Absolutely.
Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
There you go. Paul Sheehan, GuillotineLeaguesFantasyLife.com. It's been fun to have him on throughout the football season, providing some insight, hopefully helping you get to the playoffs and ultimately help you win your semifinal matchup for a lot of you tonight. It begins Thursday Night Football. Broncos Chargers could have some big time fantasy implications for a lot of teams out there. And once again, our appreciate everybody that participated in our Cody and Gold Guillotine League this year. A ton of fun. We'll do it again next year. You guys know we will. A lot of you always won spots. We end up doing a little draft that we did at Jefferson's the last couple of years. One of our sponsors here, obviously, with our lunch partner. So we'll do it again next year, man. Another Guillotine League. Someone needs to find out, create a more exciting way to do fantasy baseball. Then I'd be about, like, I did a fantasy baseball league last year, but is there a way for us to figure, you can't really do guillotine, but like, is there a way for,
sure you can. We need 30 teams, one eliminated every week. Wouldn't get exciting until
could you imagine if you were out the first week of fantasy baseball, it might actually be doing you a favor. A
huge favor.
Like,
you mentioned Jefferson's. Can I ask you guys, or you know what? Actually, let's get, this can be a stitch line related thing.
It's
stitch
time
line Thursday.
For a little stitch line Thursday, 913-586-7965. Something that's been on your mind, something you want to get off your chest, something you've done this year, something you saw a coworker do. It's anonymous. Just text it in, 913-586-7965.
So this morning, when I got into the studio, the wings that we had not quite finished because we left them out for other people to enjoy yesterday, there's maybe like four or five wings.
Okay.
No corn nuggets. Those were all gone. Just,
yeah,
you know,
those
a couple.
Are great.
I threw them away because they'd been sitting out for 24 consecutive hours.
Uh-huh.
Dusty came out to the bullpen. He's like, hey, is that Jefferson still there? And then he said, I wasn't going to eat it. I was just joking. I don't think he was joking. I think he was going to eat that 24. I think he was going to eat.
He wanted some wings.
I think he was going to eat that 24-hour-old wing. And I think he didn't want to make it seem like he was going to eat it now that they had been trashed. What do you think?
Hmm.
Continuing the beef with Dusty this week. Threatening that he is essentially
Brandon
a raccoon.
Asked the question. I feel like he wouldn't have said anything
if it's something
he actually
meant it. If it's something that's like, you know, involving meat or poultry, yeah, I'm out on the next day if it's just been sitting out. I'm out.
From the 913, I'm snitching on our fantasy football commissioner who manually switched out players for a guy who forgot to set his lineup. I was the one who faced him. I barely squeezed out a win. I'll be honest. If they're having trouble logging in and they get it done at 11 a.m., we're having a different conversation. If he switches them out before the games have started, immediately no. Absolutely not.
Yeah, here we go. From the 816, we gather up all the old gift cards we've accumulated throughout the year, and knowing if they've been fully used or not, we put them in a box. The person who opens them gets to call and figure out if there's anything on them. Always a good time. I don't know if that's a snitch, or that goes back to the random question of the day about the ideas for gifts. If that's a snitch, that would involve you like stealing those. That just sounds like something you guys did as a family. Here's more of a snitch from the 913. Oh, boy.
They're getting bleak.
From the 913, the new guy that works in our warehouse is an alcoholic and is drinking on the job. I checked his thermos yesterday and there was beer in it. Plus, you can smell his breath a mile away.
Drinking on the job.
He's a new guy, though, so you don't have a good enough relationship to be like, hey, man, you know, you can't really say.
Although, in fairness, it's actually easier if you've not already befriended this person.
Ooh,
to be
okay,
like,
okay.
Hey, man, I know you need this job. Everyone needs a job. You got to figure out, you know, like, get help or whatever, right? Like,
yeah.
You can't drink on the job.
913-586-7965. Snitch line Thursday. Anonymous. It's time to get something off your chest. Someone flat out says, I picked on Cody too much this year from the 816. They said for that, they're not sorry.
What the hell's that supposed to be? Someone says you guys do it every Friday. It's not much different. Doing what? Drink? Our job allows it.
we're not operating machinery. We're not moving pallets around with a forklift.
I might have to slightly adjust this microphone a little, you know? I mean, it's not. I think that I'm probably safe in that regard. If I started putting beer in a thermos at 10 a.m., Gold.
That's a little bit of a problem.
You are allowed to be concerned about
it. It's a little
bit
of a problem.
You know?
A beer in the 1 o'clock hour on a Friday, a little bit different than the thermos brought into work with booze in it. But anyway.
I can't wait. We got to do a snitch line right after the holidays. Because remember, we did this before, and this is where I think you can help yourself. For a snitch line, 913-586-7965. You can also just tell us the things you wish you could tell your family on Christmas or the holidays this year, but maybe you're not ready to say it to their face yet. So I'd like to hear that as well.
913-586-7965. Someone says everyone should call the Teamsters president in D.C. to let him know the local in Jacksonville is violating the CBA when it comes to seniority. Now, I don't know if you saw the news today.
That is a very specific
Amazon strike today? See that happening?
Yeah, I saw Teamsters.
It's like 1% of the Amazon workforce, but happening right before The holiday, of course. That made some news today.
How close are you done to your shopping, your holiday shopping?
Yeah, so I said I know what I'm getting. I need to go get three things for my nephews, but I know what I need to get. Then I need to pick up a couple gift cards for some others, and then I'm done. This will be a quick thing on Saturday, or probably, I'll be honest, I'm off all next week, so I'll do it on Monday because Saturday is full of college football and NFL games.
From the 816, found out our company had people come in last week and didn't pay them because, quote, should have gotten everything done during the week. Oh, no. I'd be looking for a job.
What?
My ass would be on Indeed if you tried to. One, pretty sure that's just illegal. So I would report that company. I don't think you can ask people to work, tell them to work, and then not pay them. So I don't know for sure. But it definitely feels like.
Sure, do you want to read the one from the 913 that ends in 4-5 for us, please?
Where's that one at? I'm a little bit
ends in
down,
4-5 at the very top, or fifth one down, 4-5.
I don't know if you want to read
that. You've got connections to the state of Ohio, so.
No, I'm not going to read that one.
Why not?
You guys thought I thought you would get me. You're not going to pressure me into that. You,
I
you
didn't say anything.
You guys can read it. I will read this one, though.
From someone says they once Cleveland steamroded X out of spite.
Someone from the 913.
You must have had some real spite.
I saw our sales director kissing the CEO's wife at the company holiday party last weekend.
Ooh, not good. And they're not.
Dang.
Okay.
That's tough.
I would recommend...
No.
Avoid. You know what that is? That's a not-your-business situation. That is not going to end
from
well for you.
From the 816, we are the ones who live upstairs, Drew.
No, I don't believe you.
From the 816, would love to tell my narcissistic mother that we will not change our Christmas plans to soothe her FOMO, but I'll find a way to sugarcoat it instead.
Goodness. Someone says that was not radio appropriate, Gold. No, we've said a lot worse things on this show. That's nothing. Saying the nickname for something for a disgusting act is not the worst thing that's been said on this show.
Line. Somebody says they have some people under them who are expressing some interest in having sex with them, but are asking the question if they should have an affair or if they should just fight off their desires. I'm gonna make a quick suggestion to this. Fight off your desires.
Please, yes.
Like for your sake, your significant other's sake, their significant other's sake. Workplace affair? That's the messiest kind. Are you kidding? Like, what are you doing to yourself? You want to get involved in that? No.
From the 816, an update to a prior snitch.
Okay.
Says, I'm the person they said that figured out their loud neighbor's Wi-Fi password and was turning off his music. He resets his password and I had no access to it.
Oh, dang.
And he was back to playing his music, movies very loudly. Apparently someone, not me, broke into his apartment, stole only his speakers.
That's incredible.
He's moved out since.
Well, how's the guy listening to it so loud?
They were enjoying their time.
I don't know why this is really a snitch, but from 913, they said they bet $500 on the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl.
I hope it was before the season. Probably getting better odds.
Yeah.
5-6-1 before the season? I don't know what you're getting now.
In fairness, I don't know if you're married, but like, does your wife know? You know, do you feel like you need to let somebody know? Or are you letting us know because you don't feel comfortable telling?
From the 505, I told my out-of-town family, sorry, I can't travel for Christmas because I have no time off, even though I was given the entire next week off.
Dang.
Dude, they're never going to fact-check that. Don't post a bunch on like Instagram of all the places you're going in the middle of the day. Other than that, you're good. We've all made up lies to avoid hanging out with people, okay? There's nothing wrong with that.
Someone said I look like a punk.
just flat out?
That has straight nothing out. To
wow,
do.
Wow, that's not a snitch as much as...
From the 816, I saw Drew absolutely plastered after 3 LaCroix last night at the party.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just sparkling water. That's at the fizzy skin.
I mean, I don't know. The drink definitely had like a pink tint to it.
Yeah,
did, you know,
a pinkish hue, as Jerry Seinfeld said.
They, despite the fact that they were using a measuring device,
or Jerry Seinfeld as well.
I felt like some of the drinks didn't have a lot of the mixer in it. Felt like it was.
You thought heavy pour.
Okay, well, but they were using. I saw them use a jigger, so I don't understand.
Okay, so somebody from the 816 thinks that it should be Seaton Rob against Cody and I.
Okay,
Gold's got to be the ref.
Gold's the ref in this scenario.
That's what they said.
Okay.
I mean, what are the rules? How many hours? What kind of drinks? You know? A lot of things to sort out if we're going to enter a drinking
self-snitch. I took work off Saturday I said I'm going out of town, but I'm just watching the Chiefs game.
Saturday is an epic day. Tomorrow on the show, it'll just be Drew and I. Bink's going to call in as well. We'll talk plenty of college football.
Let's go.
Saturday,
NFL and college
Saturday
football
is an epic sports day. It really is an epic sports day. Chiefs, Texans, most notably, but a lot of college football plus another NFL game mixed in. Anyway, that's a snitch line. Thursday, 913-586-7965. Up next, we'll get to what's trending and some news from someone we haven't heard from in a very long time. And it'll take you back to the late 90s. We'll explain that next.
What's trending?
What's trending here on Cody and Gold is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. We mentioned earlier this hour the news from Andy Reid that Patrick Mahomes is likely to play, quote, most likely will play against the Texans on Saturday. Also confirmed that Shamari Connor and DJ Humphreys did not practice on Thursday. When he was asked whether or not they could play on Wednesday against the Steelers, he said there's a chance for both. So we'll have to see by the time we get to next Monday on those two players. Did say there's a good chance Hollywood Brown will return, and that shouldn't surprise anybody. As we mentioned, there have been multiple reports this week that Hollywood Brown is going to be activated Saturday.
Little bit surprised that maybe DJ Humphreys never got on a practice field based on how they were talking about him last week, but I don't know. With a short week, do you really want to risk a hamstring? Better to wait till Wednesday or wait until the 10 days after that. Certainly, we would think he'd be available by the Broncos game, and if not, mm-hmm. Joe Tooney should have started the rest of the way. I mean, if he's not available by then we're not really having a conversation. Next up on What's Trending, for a big AFC North matchup this weekend, J.J. Watt says he feels good, but they'll still wait and see before the game whether he'll be available against the Ravens. But one Ravens reporter reporting that Rashad Bateman was seen in a walking boot today at practice in the facility as well. That could obviously have a heavy impact on what takes place between those two teams. That feels like a game that could be for the division. Certainly, if the Steelers win it, the division is theirs. If the Ravens win it, that door for mm-hmm. whoever wins the division is wide open. So, interesting to say the least.
Next up on What's Trending, this is something we're going to talk about more after we get done with What's Trending, but we hadn't heard from Sammy Sosa in a bit. You're like, why are we hearing? Well, he apologized publicly, really for the first time, for past, quote, mistakes.
He acknowledged
that he did things to, quote, keep his strength up and whatever he could do to recover from injuries. He apologized for those mistakes. We'll read the full statement after What's Trending when we get into the topic. But, yeah, this is as close as we've ever been to hearing Sammy Sosa apologize for taking steroids, basically. Right? I mean, that's really what this is.
I think
is.
He's trying to get back in the good graces with the Cubs organization. He's not even in their Hall of Fame. Cubs Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he's getting older, right? Like a lot of players eventually. He said that he wants to be more involved, quote. He obviously... made mistakes. I apologize. The Cubs organization is now reportedly inviting him back. They immediately sent him an invitation to go to their Cubs convention thing that's coming up.
Next up on What's Trending, Chargers Broncos tonight, AFC West battle, Justin Herbert versus Bo Nix. These are the two teams currently sitting in the 6th and 7 seeds in the NFL playoffs. The only way that Drew's Bengals can stay alive or some of these other teams like Miami and the Colts can stay alive is really with a Broncos loss tonight. Like, they need at this point the Broncos to lose out. Not impossible based on the fact they got a tough opponent tonight and two more tough opponents for the Broncos in the Cincinnati Bengals and the Chiefs to finish up the season. But again, some of that matters because if the Bills slip up even once, well, the Chiefs really won't be playing anyone week 18.
Last on What's Trending, college bowl season going on tonight. The R&L Carriers New Orleans Bowl. Georgia Southern.
Let's go.
Sam Houston. Drew and Bink.
Bink and I are going to be
the only two people. Yeah. It'll get a 0.2 rating. Two people, Drew and Bink.
That's right. He'll be watching. Again, tomorrow we'll talk more college football. Bink's going to call in tomorrow around 12:30 or so. I can already tell you that as we'll be getting set for the Chiefs game, but also we'll talk some college football playoff. Huge weekend ahead when it comes to football. So that'll be fun tomorrow on the show. Cody, you'll be back on Monday. And then, as I said, this is the last show. All three of us will be together till next year, till January 2nd.
Man.
So, I know.
Holidays.
Christmas falls on a Wednesday.
You
Christmas
going back
falls
home
on a
next
Wednesday,
week, right? Sure.
I am. I'm going back
Drew's
home.
Drew's going back home next
Monday.
Week. Yeah. Christmas falls on a Wednesday, so we just can't quite land in that area. So it all just kind of changes. You mentioned the Sammy Sosa. Let me read this statement.
Mm-hmm.
As of today, December 19th, he sent out a statement and said, I left it all on the field for the Cubs and Cubs fans because I wanted to win and make the fans happy. I love to see the fans at Wrigley and the right field bleachers every home game. I understand why some players in my era don't get the recognition that our stats deserve. There were times I did whatever I could to recover from injuries in an effort to keep my strength up and perform over 162 games. I never broke any laws, but in hindsight, I made mistakes and I apologize. We accomplished great things as a team, and I worked extremely hard in the batting cage to become a great hitter. Cubs fans are the best in the world, and I hope that the fans and the Cubs can all come together again and move forward. We can't change the past, but the future is bright. In my heart, I have always been a Cub and always can't wait to be a Cubs fan again. He is admitting, essentially, I know he's not admitting it because he still thinks, like, if a Hall of Fame person technically had it on paper is convincing.
Yeah.
He's admitting to having used steroids here. And I guess the whole thing for that era for me still is, will we just have a wing? Sammy Sosa, and I don't care if he was using steroids at the time, should be a Cubs Hall of Famer. He's one of the five most recognizable Chicago Cubs of all time. Who cares if you use steroids? This is not a MLB Hall of Fame in which they judge people for that. This is a team Hall of Fame. You can judge people differently. If he's saying sorry and they can mend fences, put him in the Cubs Hall of Fame.
The Baseball Hall of Fame is a museum of history. It tells a history of the sport of baseball. And
they're just ignoring 15 years now.
Part of your sports history was the steroid era. There's no erasing that. We didn't all just forget about it. We all remember how epic the summer of 98 and 99 were. 98, I guess, was. And that's not something that we're going to forget. I mean, I was very young at the time. I was 7, 8 years old. But that's the first memory I have of really falling in love and liking baseball. Right? Like, that was when I kind of fell in love with the sport and helped me become, you know, even bigger sports fan, was the home run chase with of course, Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa. That was epic. That was unbelievable entertainment. That's part of your sports history. Now, you want to put them in a separate wing. I'm all about that. Make sure people, we acknowledge that, like, let's recognize they were playing in the sport, the steroids there. We should. We should absolutely do that. I know you're going to give me the example of the 1920s. I know.
So who cares?
But, like, we should have a separate, that's part of the sports history, and we actually do know what happened. So we can confirm, basically, that these guys took steroids. I mean, there's no secret. So let's put a steroid wing out there, but they should be in the Hall of Fame. He's doing this now because he's 56, and he wants to be part of the Cubs history. And Tom Ricketts, the owner of the Cubs, has already invited him to this Cubs convention that they do every single year.
Good. Do some stuff with him. Have a Sammy Sosa day. Put him in your Hall of Fame. There's no reason why I do this. And, again, I understand all parts of the steroid era and why at the time they were cheating. We're never going to know how pervasive it is, and we are never going to be able to prove who did or didn't use it except for the people who actually tested positive. And there's a bunch that didn't that are going to – they going to be in the Hall of Fame just because they didn't technically admit they did it or have one positive test. Some people aren't in just because there's a whiff that they might have done it, not because you can prove it, just the oopsie possibility. That's why, like, you can do the wing, and I wouldn't care because they're still in the Hall of Fame, but I don't even think you have to do that. Some of the examples that are – the sport was segregated, and we don't put them in the "this is when the sport was segregated" wing. So if you want to do it, not you, just baseball, cool.
Yeah.
But they deserve to be in the Hall of Fame because they were the best players in their era, an era in which everyone was juicing, sure.
Yeah, his statement is still, he's not actually admitting it,
he's just saying without saying.
Well, he's saying that he's also saying, you know, I did it to recover from injuries.
he said it to keep his power up. He kind of said it.
I'll tell you this, though, there was nothing more entertaining than watching when it was that summer, man, the home run chase. It was incredible. Yeah, absolutely incredible.
His home run, like, celebration, with jump step, it's iconic.
It will be one of the 10 most memorable baseball memories for me in my life, I imagine. If you made me 40 years from now, go be like, all right, put down your 10 baseball, let's say non-Royals memories, 10 baseball memories that stand out the most to you, their home run chase is one of them. Sammy Sosa, sure. Mark McGwire going shot for shot for an entire 2-month run is absolutely one of them, and ignoring it is crazy.
You can make a case that they saved baseball to a certain extent at the time because the strike the strike wasn't that long before that, and where baseball was at in popularity and all that, and then, as I said, like, for someone that was a much, much younger sports fan at the time, that was the first time I really, like, really got interested in the sport of baseball. I was 7 years old or whatever at the time.
By the way, someone said, not everyone was juicing. I'm thinking nobody on the Royals was, LOL. No, they were. There's already been confirmed people who played for the Royals who were juicing during that time. And again, I'm not saying it doesn't matter. I'm not saying that they weren't cheating or whatever else we're talking about here. They obviously were. I'm just, it was pervasive and baseball allowed it. Baseball knew. Baseball openly knew. This is not like a secret and the curtain was pulled over their eyes and, oh, they had no, it was sanctioned by baseball practically. So,
yeah,
like,
steroids
no
were not banned until 05. Steroids were not actually banned until 2005 in baseball.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, Alex Rodriguez is far more guilty of this than the players who did it during the era in which everybody knew it was an open secret that everybody did it versus, like, you're talking about 2005 when it was banned and you could be banned for it. And then Alex Rodriguez caught a suspension for cheating after they had said, all right, cool, no more cheating. The other problem is Sammy Sosa got caught with that cork bat. He had a...
And then all of a sudden, when he was testifying in front of Congress, he suddenly couldn't speak any English anymore. I mean, the whole show was ridiculous.
Which one was his worse or Rafael Palmeiro's? Because I just remember the pointing. He was just so
that
like...
That was Sammy, yeah.
Rafael Palmeiro was that one. Not use steroids. Yeah. And you're like... And test positive for steroids. Like, damn, Ralph, come on, man.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
We've had I've interviewed Rafael Palmeiro. We had him on. Remember we did
had Rafael Palmeiro on?
The state. So when we were doing a show together, but it wasn't you. So it was one of the days we did the host swap.
Oh.
And you were in mornings that day. I was in the afternoon with Bob. And one of our guests was Rafael Palmeiro. Now, and he was on the show. We talked about, remember he did all the old Viagra commercials and everything that were on constantly and everything.
Could you ask him about the state?
No.
That was off limits.
That was off limits.
If you're curious, you want a little peel behind the curtain. Every once in a while, we do an interview in which they say things like, that's off limits. Rafael Palmeiro does not want to answer.
In a circumstance like that, let me be clear. I don't want people to, not when we have an active general manager or coach or something on.
No, that's no. It's rare.
It's usually a former athlete. Yeah. Not a player or whatever. That's different.
That's fair. Somebody said Randy Johnson smoking a pigeon mid pitch is an all time baseball moment.
I mean, for sure.
Definitely. I'd like to argue against that, but yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
You guys probably saw, how many years has been the 30 for 30 on the El Maguire and the home run chase and everything with Sammy Sosa. Like that 30 for 30 wasn't like I'm not saying it's like the best 30 for 30, but it brought back some really cool memories. I remember the name of it. It came out in the last 5 years, I think.
What a weird. I mean, that was the year I grew up in. I mean, the steroid era is baseball, like my formative years were steroid baseball.
Oh, 30 for 30, long gone summer. It came out during the COVID year, but it was all about the Maguire and Sammy Sosa home run chase.
In fairness, I didn't like that one because it just felt like a giant.
But it still had highlights and brought back
Cardinals fans. Like they were just like, it was like one big, like, I'm trying to say this. You know what? I just thought it was a
stroking
little
stroking egos.
Yeah, that seems. Big ego stroke for Cardinals
but
fans.
It brought back memories because there was a lot of highlights and stuff from that year.
But yeah, it is when he just only
people bringing up other great moments in baseball.
Really, just talking about the weird ones,
bloody
like
sock, Curt Schilling.
Like obviously for me, it's going to be the mad dash home for Hosmer or Gordon's home run.
Oh,
like,
sure, those.
If I had those Royals are Royals memories. Those would be, but if it's just baseball,
the random fan in L.A. or whatever's not remembering that.
The Freddie Freeman one might be on my list at some point.
Yeah, eventually it'll
walk off grand slam. Are you kidding me?
That's probably somewhere on the list. I assume, right?
Definitely.
Bartman. Like a lot of times they're like
it's another one. Yeah.
Controversial like, things.
Yeah,
that was a good 30 for 32 when they came out with
yes. Yes.
There's just, you know, like I'm sure for somebody born in the 60s or 70s, it's the ball going between Buckner's legs or whatever, you know. You always think of the like controversial or like impactful moments in which things changed or looked different.
So Sammy Sosa was the other thing. This is so many, many, many years ago. I was probably like a 9-year-old kid, maybe 10-year-old kid. And anybody that's listened to sports talk radio for a long time there, I think he still does some radio, but like Tony Bruno, does their name ring a bell to anybody, right?
Yeah.
So back in the day, there was something called Sporting News Radio, right? You still hear the same sounder. It's changed names 100 times, like Sporting News, Yahoo, Sports Radio, eventually SB Nation Radio, et cetera. I only bring this up because Tony Bruno used to play a game on his show. It was not that summer. It was years later because I had been old enough to at least call into the radio show. But it was a national, and they used to play a game, Sammy or No Sammy. And you would call in and you would just give facts or whatever. And I called in once. And it's funny, he got so mad at people calling in front because the game was you're just supposed to flat out say Sammy or No Sammy. And everybody out of habit, would be like, "Yes, Sammy." And he got so irritated when people would say, "Yes,
like,
Sammy."
Legitimately irritated.
But I did not win. I think I got 3 questions right. You need to get 5 or whatever. And it'd be like, "Sammy or no Sammy?" And I'm like this 10-year-old kid. I wish I had audio of it because it'd just been hilarious nowadays. But that's another thing that comes back when I think of Sammy Sosa.
Sammy, no Sammy.
That was the game they played. Sammy, no
we
Sammy.
We can play Vinny, no Vinny.
We can do that. We can.
And just give stats.
Yeah.
Or personal facts. About Vinny Pasquantino. We're going to need him to provide a lot.
We need some background, yeah.
I was going to play that game with him because he comes on the show and I joked. I said, I'm going to look up things about other Pasquantinos on Twitter and then we'll go over those. He's like, good luck. I tried to go looking for things on Twitter in which Pasquantino, the name, is mentioned. Not mentioning Vinny Pasquantino.
I mean, there can't be many, right?
Impossibly hard. Maybe like one every 50 tweets is not about Vinny Pasquantino. No wonder he mutes his name. It's crazy. Like, some names are just more common, like Wit. Like, I'm sure that, like, yeah, most of them are about you, but, like, if it's just Wit, you might be able to get away with it. Wit Jr., probably not as much. Someone said Nolan Ryan putting, he said that dude, Ventura, in a headlock when he was, like, 45. Great moment.
Seen the clip of that.
Someone said Pedro Martinez tossing the bench coach.
Oh, yeah. Threw him on
what
the ground.
What year was that?
2004, wasn't it?
Was that 04?
Yeah, it was right around there.
That was peak Yankees Red Sox. Right?
You know that they're memorable moments when the second somebody gives a one sentence describing it, you can immediately
Don Zimmer.
Picture the moment in your head.
Yeah,
yeah, it was Don Zimmer and there's still like a John Boy Media has a whole breakdown of the frame by frame of exactly what's going on in that moment.
Good times. Either way, just put him in the hall. Who cares?
So have you seen what Sammy Sosa looks like now? Yes, yes, yes.
The last one I remember seeing is when
he's kind of gone the, how do I say this correctly?
Good luck.
The Michael Jackson route in terms of what he's decided to do with
his skin. The last time I saw him was when he had, he had done obviously some whitening or something, and he was in the cowboy boots with the cowboy hats and all the roses. That's the last picture.
I know,
and that's like 10 years
about.
Old. Mm-hmm. That's the last one I remember seeing of Sammy Sosa. I have no idea what he looks like today.
Yeah, the interview with the pink suit and all that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what he looks like. I mean, that's the last
photo.
Probably
about the same, man.
Man, I searched Sammy Sosa today and the very first photo is him in that like red cowboy hat.
Yeah, wasn't it like a pink suit or something?
It's a white shirt with kind of a red or pink tie.
Okay.
I don't know. I need something from like the last. I need something from the last 12 months so I can get a sense of what Sammy Sosa looks like.
Evidently, there's not that many pictures.
I like how many people. This is always a good thing. Like people looking through here and looking through different stuff. Like Odor punching Batista was mentioned from the 816, and like there are just like
The Tigers perfect game with the umpire Joyce and
Armando Galarraga.
Yeah. Armando, yeah.
Yeah,
that's an all-time. I mean, that's truly like an emotional.
The conference after when he's like, "Oh,
the ump crying as he's coming back the next day," and the whole thing was handled amazingly by the player.
And he knows he threw a perfect game.
Of course,
he'll know for the rest of his life. It's not in the stack.
I know,
but he'll know for the rest of his life.
So brutal, though.
Perfect game.
So brutal. But yes, everybody does know it was. It's such a big story now from that when that happened over. Yeah, that was almost 15 years ago.
Was it really?
June of 2010. It's almost 15 years ago crazy. That Jim Joyce thing happened.
I'd watch a quick.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't want like a full 30, but like, you give me like 30 minutes, I'd watch it.
Yeah. And oh, man. Anyway, Sammy Sosa back in the news. I mean, throwback, baby. Tomorrow. Cody, you're off tomorrow. You're back Monday. It's a Red Friday. Drew and I will be hosting together. Bank will call in. We've got a couple guests from Houston to check in with us. We'll have Josh Briscoe. We'll get you set for a huge NFL and college football weekend. Hope you guys have a good rest of the day. The Drive with C-Dot coming up next.